say to you. You're all he talks about. I understand that you probably don't want to see him, but he really does just want to talk. He says you deserve an explanation. I stared at her, gaping for probably a full minute, maybe more. Amanda, looking awkward for a change, sipped some more water and looked around the kitchen. I don't get it, I said finally. Why are you talking to me about this? I know, it's not really my place, but I care about Noah, and he's really cut up about what happened. So I thought, yeah, you thought you'd try to get me to talk to him. I just don't get why you care. I mean, I thought, you guys, it just doesn't make any sense. She stared at me for a moment, a quizzical expression on her pretty face. Shit, was she really going to make me say it? I don't get why this is such a big deal to you now you guys are, you know, a thing. Amanda made a weird choking noise, her eyes blown wide and her hand flew to her mouth. A giggle escaped her lips. Oh my God. He didn't tell you, did he? He didn't tell you? Tell me what? Oh shit, sorry. I mean, no, it's... She looked flustered, her hands waving around her erratically, and she bit her lip between words. Finally, she composed herself, looking calm and collected, and like she was almost about to laugh. We're definitely not a thing. We never were. Now it was my turn to look like an idiot and gawp at her. Her face was open, sincere, her blue eyes wide and apologetic. Honestly, I thought he told you. I mean, he never said he told you, but I thought he must have. He said you thought we were together and that was part of the reason you guys broke up, but I assumed he told you we weren't. I mean, he said you were friends. He said you were lab partners, that you were close and I wouldn't get it. And he brought you home for Thanksgiving. Yes, because he didn't want me to stay on my own back at school. We are close. You try spending hours in labs and classes with someone and not bonding. Of course he invited me for Thanksgiving when he heard I planned to spend it alone in the dorms. He's a nice guy. No kidding, I said, my voice sounding weird like it didn't belong to me. It sounded detached and flat and not half as confused as I felt right now. Oh God, I can't believe this. No wonder you looked so awkward yesterday. I thought it was just because of Noah. I didn't think it was because you thought we were together. I'm so sorry. It's not your fault, I said in the voice that didn't sound like mine. I didn't even think. I'm so sorry, Elle. But I promise you, there's nothing going on with us. There never has been. He's like a little brother or something. Kind of helpless. You know he can barely work out how to do his own laundry. He tries to wingman for me at parties, set me up with guys. I didn't know what to do with this information. I tried to digest it, but the words just swirled around in my head. I felt numb. My mouth had gone dry. He feels awful about what happened with you two, and about yesterday. He was really upset about you leaving. He went to go and look for you, but he said he couldn't find you. I don't know if he means to just clear the air so you can both move on or what. He wasn't really in the mood to talk to me or Lee about it yesterday. I stared at her a while longer. You're not together. No. You're not his girlfriend. No. Trust me, he's not my type. I stared again. Oh my God. What the fuck had I done? I'm really sorry if I've made things weird now, Amanda said nervously. I thought you knew. I thought maybe you just didn't want to talk to him because you were angry with him, or just really upset, or... I shook my head. She reached over to squeeze my hand. I feel awful. I'm so sorry, Elle. No, don't. It's not your fault. He should have told me. Okay, I mean, he did. He told me there was nothing going on with you two, but I didn't believe him. That was when we broke up. He hasn't spoken to me since.
He's sort of clueless when it comes to girls, Amanda said. He acts like a womanizer and he's just not. He's like a lost puppy. He acts like a badass out on the football field, and then he watered my fern for me when I went on a trip to DC for the weekend.
I laughed, and it seemed to take some of the weight off my chest.
Amanda smiled too.
So, will you talk to him?
I faltered.
Okay, so they weren't together. But that didn't change the fact that he hadn't tried to talk to me since the breakup, and he hadn't really talked to me yesterday. He hadn't bothered to warn me he'd be bringing Amanda home for the holidays, whether they were together or not. If anything, he'd done it knowing I believed they were a thing. Plus, if it wasn't Amanda he'd been hiding from me, what was it?
I don't know. It's complicated.
She nodded with a sympathetic smile.
That's okay. I understand.
He probably won't, but can I let him know you'll talk to him when you're ready to?
Thanks. I guess.
I'm really, really sorry, she said again.
What for?
Well, I know that I was one of the problems between you guys. He told me about the photo. I'm sorry I didn't say yesterday that we weren't together. I honestly thought you knew. It might have made you feel less... Well, it might have made you feel better yesterday. I bet it was pretty rubbish thinking he'd brought his new girlfriend home so soon after you guys split.
Rubbish doesn't even begin to cover it.
Amanda laughed.
Yes, well, I'll get out of your hair. Thanks for the water.
No problem. I walked her to the door, and as she was stepping outside, I said, Amanda?
Yeah?
Thanks for telling me and explaining.
Of course. I'll see you around,
she added in the bubbly, cheerful tone she'd used all yesterday, and she gave me an equally bright grin before walking down the street. I still felt stunned when I went back into the living room. My dad pounced immediately, muting the movie. Brad shouted, Hey! But my dad didn't react.
What did she want?
Was it Noah's new girlfriend? Brad asked, forgetting about the TV.
They're not together.
My dad raised his eyebrows, but he didn't actually look too surprised.
Huh.
Brad said, Does that mean you're going to be his girlfriend again now?
I don't think so. I don't know. We didn't... She just wanted...
Dad said,
I thought you said they were dating.
I thought they were... I mean, I just assumed. Oh man, I'd been such an idiot. I should have trusted him. I should have believed him.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to talk to him?
I huffed, pursing my lips for a moment. I don't know, Dad, geez.
I just don't want you to do anything stupid.
What, like get back together with him?
No. Like, get your heart broken again.
Chapter 24. The crowds at the mall were worse than ever as people poured into stores for the sales and to start their Christmas shopping now that Thanksgiving was officially over. It was almost 3 p.m. before Lee and I had managed to grab a seat for lunch. I still hadn't talked to Lee about what had happened with Levi, but I'd told him all about my chat with Amanda.
Well, he'd said, to be fair to Noah, we all just assumed.
Yeah, well, he could have mentioned it, like to me.
He did tell you there was nothing going on between them.
I shot a glare at him for that, which is exactly what he would have said if something had been going on. And then he brought her home for Thanksgiving. What was I supposed to think?
I know. I'm not blaming you. I thought they were together, too. I'm sure my mom and dad were convinced, too, even though Noah said they were just friends.
After we'd given the waitress our orders, Lee looked serious.
What actually happened after you ran out on Thanksgiving?
Did you tell Noah where I'd gone?
He asked. He heard your car leave. I said you were going to the park because you were sick of his attitude.
Oh my God, tell me you didn't actually say that.
And he went after you. He didn't say anything. When he got back, he looked really pissed. I figured you guys had had another fight, especially after you didn't come back. I tried asking him and he just told me to leave it.
So, did you have a fight?
I never spoke to him.
Then what happened? Did he pick a fight with Levi or something?
No. Oh man, I didn't want to lie to Lee or to hide things from him, but I squirmed in my seat. Okay, you have to promise not to laugh or anything.
Why?
Promise me.
I promise.
So I met Levi at the park. I wanted to let off some steam about Noah and Amanda. And we ended up making out. Lee stared at me a moment before his mouth pinched and contorted side to side and the muscles in his jaw and cheeks twitched as he tried really hard not to laugh. I glared at him.
You promised not to laugh.
I watched him draw a deep breath through his nose and let it out before he said,
Sorry, but you kissed Levi? Like, Levi Monroe? The same Levi you've been hanging out with all semester and swearing you don't like?
I groaned, burying my head in my hands. I know. It was a shitty thing to do. Especially if I did want to date him. I'd have totally ruined anything now.
I cannot believe you made out with Levi Monroe.
Will you stop saying his full name? It's weird.
Was it good?
What kind of question is that?
Okay, was it weird?
Not as much as it could have been, but it just wasn't. I sighed. He wasn't Noah. Lee's mouth twisted in sympathy.
So what happened then?
Noah saw. I didn't know he was there until I saw him leaving. I don't think he overheard anything, but he definitely saw us kissing.
Damn,
Lee said, and let out a long, low whistle.
You guys really need to talk and sort your shit out.
I grunted, unimpressed with the suggestion, especially since he was probably right. And we moved on to talk about something else instead. Although every 5 minutes was punctuated with Lee saying,
I can't believe you made out with Levi, or wait till the guy's here. Levi.
If you tell anybody, I swear to God, I'm going to tell Rachel something you don't want her to know.
I tell Rachel everything.
Oh yeah? Does she know that you cried harder than me when we watched Marley and Me? Or what about the time I got my first bra and you wore it for a day to see what it was like? The laughter disappeared from Lee's face, and he raised a fry threateningly at me.
You dare.
I raised my eyebrows, grinning at him triumphantly. Lee came back to my house after the mall. He didn't even suggest we go back to his, where I might bump into Noah. He tried to get me to talk about Noah again, what I was going to do, and if I was going to talk to him, but I stayed mute on the subject. The truth was, I still didn't know myself. I knew I was still in love with Noah. Somehow that made it all so much worse. I was torn between wanting to get back together with him and wanting to never have to talk to him again until I was officially 100% over him. But what if I couldn't get over him until we'd talk things through and he'd explain the whole thing with Amanda was just a horrible misunderstanding? What if seeing him alone was the best way to get over him? And what if it just made things worse? My head was spinning with what ifs, and I knew I could think about it for weeks and still not figure out the right thing to do. Lee was only trying to be helpful. I knew that. But he didn't just have my best interests at heart. He was looking out for his brother, too. And he knew his brother wanted to talk to me. I ignored the 2 missed calls I had from Noah and the text that said, If you don't want to talk, I get it, but let me know.
I think you should at least call him and say you don't want to talk, Lee said. Or for God's sake, at least text the poor sap.
I still didn't know what I wanted to do when I was lying in bed, tossing and turning later that night.
I couldn't sleep for thinking about it. I'll go see him early tomorrow before he leaves. I'll text him in the morning to say I think it's better if we don't talk, and I hope he and Amanda had a nice time here. I'll ignore everything to do with him. I'll see him in the morning. I'll call him when he's back at college. I won't speak to him. There was a rattle at my window. I sat up, twisting toward the sound and stared at the closed drapes. Another one, kind of like a tap, but whatever it was hit the gutter on the way down. I frowned at the window for 3 more taps before I got up to see what it was. I scrambled out from under the covers and threw open the curtains, peering down through the darkness. From the street lamp's amber glow, I could see a guy in my front yard, and I clenched my jaw tight while my heart did a somersault and his name jumped to my lips. Seeing me, he stopped throwing things. He waved. I fumbled for the latch and opened the window. "What are you doing? It's 2 in the morning."
"Yeah, I know."
I gawped at him for a second. "What do you want?"
"I have to talk to you. My flight leaves at 12 and I couldn't not talk to you before I left. I figured this was the only way to get you to talk to me."
I stared at him for a split second longer before closing the window. I found some sneakers and a hoodie, pulled them on, and crept downstairs to the front door. I closed it quietly behind me, leaving it on the latch so I could get back in. "You've got 2 minutes, Noah Flynn."
"I almost didn't think you were coming."
He was holding a bag of Skittles. They must have been what he was throwing at my window in lieu of pebbles or rocks. Noah strode toward me, coming up onto the porch. I took a half step back. I forgot how tall he was up close like this. I noticed in the porch light that he was wearing flannel pajama pants and a hoodie, and sneakers with no socks. Almost exactly like me. He'd come straight here from lying in bed. I set my jaw and stared up at him, resolute. "Time's ticking." It sounded lamer than I expected it to. Noah just looked determined, serious. I counted my heartbeats. I got to 16 before he spoke.
"Cramps, huh?"
"Excuse me?"
"On Thanksgiving. We both know that was a load of bull."
"You followed me," I accused instead.
"I felt like you'd left because of me. I thought I should apologize or something. It wasn't fair to you to have to leave because of me. And from talking to Lee, he made it sound like you weren't over me. So I thought maybe I should clear the air. But obviously he was wrong."
I stuck my chin out. "What difference does it make? We broke up. Who I kiss isn't any of your business anymore. Same goes for you. I thought that was pretty clear when you didn't even call me to tell me you were coming home for Thanksgiving, much less with Amanda." Noah sighed, the sound broken, and he ran a hand back and forth through his already tousled hair, making it stick out even more.
"I didn't think you wanted me to call."
"Of course I wanted you to call. I wanted you to call and I wanted you to tell me you missed me and tell me how much you loved me and tell me I'd made a mistake in breaking up with you." Instead, what I said was, "If you followed me to the park to talk to me, why didn't you talk to me? Why did you leave?" He scoffed, almost scornful, but he couldn't hide the hurt expression on his face.
"Are you really asking me that? I thought you two were just friends. You told me you weren't interested in him like that. Told Lee, too. I wasn't convinced when you kept sharing photos and stuff with him, and when I saw that photo of you guys at the dance. But Lee told me. 'Nothing going on,' he said. 'Looks like you're making a habit of lying to him about guys you like.'"
My jaw clenched, teeth grinding. I could feel the muscles in my face twitching, not sure which expression to settle on. I was breathing hard, trembling all over, but that had nothing to do with the chill in the air. "You have no right to say that to me. It shouldn't matter to you anymore if I'm dating Levi, but just FYI, I'm not. I asked him to meet me because I needed a friend and not Lee for once. I kissed him, so what? It was a stupid decision, but it was my decision to make. And anyway, what about you and Amanda? You didn't think to tell me you were bringing her home for Thanksgiving?
You're not dating him.
No, I said, more softly, some of the tension in my shoulders easing. I'm not.
Well, what was I supposed to think when I saw you two all over each other, Elle?
Well, what was I supposed to think when I saw all those pictures of you and Amanda, and then you bring her home for Thanksgiving? You could have told me. You could have at least told me you two weren't dating.
I did, and you didn't want to hear it.
Did you really expect me to believe you when you brought her home for Thanksgiving?
She's British. She was going to be all alone for the holidays. It had nothing to do with you,
he shouted, and I was shocked into silence.
I didn't realize that me having a good female friend was such a big deal, so when you broke up with me out of the blue like that, I thought there had to be someone else, especially when you and Lee are so close. Honestly, I thought you'd be the last person to get jealous of me being friends with another girl.
I was suddenly breathless, and had never felt like more of an idiot.
What did you expect me to think after you broke up with me? I thought you were just looking for an excuse. I thought there was someone else. I knew you and Levi were getting close, and when I saw the photos from Sadie Hawkins, and when I saw you two last night...
Noah broke off with a sigh, dragging a hand through his hair and making it stick up on end. His forehead was lined, his eyes shining and sad and desperate, and it made my heart ache. We'd both been such idiots. I can't believe you thought I'd broken up with you to be with Levi.
You kissed him.
Because I was trying to get over you. And it didn't work. It was stupid and I regretted it as soon as it happened. I thought maybe there was something, but... I shook my head. There was never anybody else, Noah. There still isn't. We broke up because we couldn't trust each other.
I trust you.
He reached out as if to grab my shoulders, then my hands, then dropped his hands to his sides before shoving them in the pockets of his hoodie instead, where the Skittles packet crinkled.
I've never not trusted you. But I was never good enough for you. I was never the right guy, and I was terrified the whole time that we were together that the right guy would come along. And I felt like I was just waiting for you to realize that and to see that the right guy for you isn't me and...
And what?
And I loved you too much to let you go,
he said quietly, looking up at me from under his eyelashes. His eyes looked unnaturally bright blue in the shadows.
I still do.
I sucked in my lower lip, biting it hard. Why did I feel like crying? Why were my eyes prickling and my throat itching like I was about to sob? Just because he'd said he loved me. He still loved me. But I had questions. The fact that he loved me and that I still loved him didn't change anything right now. You let me think something was going on with you and Amanda. He shrugged one shoulder.
I was jealous. I was mad. It hurt me, Elle, when you broke up with me. You flipped out so much over her, I thought. I didn't think you'd get it. That we were just friends.
I flipped out because you were keeping secrets from me. That phone call I overheard. If it wasn't about you being with Amanda, what the hell was it about? Noah blushed, looking distressed. He shifted from foot to foot and ran a hand through his hair again. Now he looked like the one on the verge of crying. As angry as I was and had been, it fell away in an instant. Noah? I said, softly, reaching out to touch his arm impulsively. He jumped when I did, and we sprang apart like we'd been electrocuted.
I was failing some of my classes, he said finally. I was going to get kicked off the football team. I was stressed. I wasn't getting good grades as easily as I did in high school, which stressed me out so much it affected my work. Amanda was helping me a lot. She knew because she'd see the grades I got in class or in our lab. I was too embarrassed to tell you. I didn't want you to think I was... stupid. I didn't want you to be disappointed.
And suddenly, everything made sense. It made so much sense, especially given that he'd told me all about how he'd put so much pressure on himself at school before he'd built up his bad boy persona. I couldn't understand how I hadn't even considered it before.
You shouldn't have been embarrassed to tell me, I said quietly. I wouldn't have thought you were stupid. I don't. I just wish you'd told me.
Would it have made a difference?
Yes, I exclaimed, and then I checked myself. I didn't want to wake anybody up. I blinked a few more times, but a tear spilled over. I took a second to try and steady my voice. Noah, Before we broke up, it felt like you were hardly talking to me. You kept avoiding talking to me about classes, and it felt like you were cutting me out of your life, like I didn't belong in it anymore. I get it now, but I didn't know, and that scared me. I thought we were drifting apart and that you didn't love me so much anymore, and when you wouldn't talk to me about that call, of course I thought you had something going on with Amanda. It was the only thing that made sense.
I'm sorry, he whispered, and I was shocked to see him crying,
actual tears hanging on his lower lashes. One of them splashed onto his cheek. His Adam's apple bobbed as he gulped.
I'm sorry. I should have told you. About college, about Amanda. I knew there was nothing going on with you and Levi, but I started convincing myself that there might have been after we broke up. And last night I...
Noah trailed off when I stepped closer. You're such an idiot, Noah Flynn. He chuckled and I brought my hand to his face, running my thumb across the tear track on his cheek. But you're my idiot. I didn't kiss him. I waited, every one of my nerves coiled and ready to spring. And when he kissed me, I ignited. His lips were tender and insistent against mine, his arms wrapping around me tight, his hair soft through my fingers. I thought I'd remembered what it was like to kiss him, but those memories were pale imitations of the real thing. And I'd been right to think that kissing Noah was just so much more than kissing Levi. I felt like I was burning up from the inside out in the best way possible. My fingertips trailed over his face and back through his hair and down his arms, and I was sure I'd never felt more alive than I did while kissing him. When we stopped, I clung to him, and he didn't loosen his hold on me.
I love you, he whispered,
the words rushing out as though he couldn't say them fast enough, the look in his eyes so intense it was like the words didn't mean enough.
I fucked up. I should have just talked to you. I know that. I messed everything up. I just got so scared of losing you that I made things worse.
I managed to laugh. That was why I broke up with you, because I was scared that you'd find someone better and forget about me, and I couldn't lose you like that. I got scared and made things worse. Noah chuckled, the sound soft and breathy, tickling my nose. I closed my eyes, pressing my head into his shoulder and inhaling deeply. He still smelled the same, still felt the same. He was still my Noah. Dragging my head back up from his shoulder, I stepped back so that I could see him properly. I'm still in love with you too, Noah Flynn. Just you know, in case you were wondering.
So?
He kissed me, this time just a lingering peck on the lips. Even that made my heart do somersaults.
If you still don't want to be together, I get it. I understand. It's horrible being away from you, and I miss you all the damn time. I don't want to be with anyone except you. But if you find it too hard, then I get it. Just tell me.
I think... Oh, God, what did I think? I missed Noah so much while he was at college, but... however hard I'd tried, I hadn't been able to get over him. Not even a little tiny bit. I didn't want to lose him, but maybe I'd done the right thing by breaking up with him in case this didn't work, in case we were just wasting our time. Only looking at Noah, I didn't feel like I was wasting my time. Standing in his arms, I felt like I was right where I wanted to be. I grinned at him. I think we can make it work. Chapter 25. Noah kissed my nose for the billionth time. He smelled so good.
I'll be back after my exams for Christmas, not even a month away. It'll fly by.
It better. I kissed him again. We were making up for weeks and weeks of missing out. Last night he'd come inside and we talked for a while longer about everything. We talked until we fell asleep on the couch with me drifting off first, Noah's fingers running through my hair, and his arms tucked tight around me. I could feel how much he loved me. How could I have ever doubted him or thought there was anybody else? My dad had woken us up around 8, not looking overly surprised, to find Noah in the house when he'd come downstairs to make breakfast, and just said,
"What do you kids want for breakfast? You'd better head back home soon, Noah. You'll have to leave for the airport in a while."
Once Noah had left, I'd explained everything to my dad, who'd sighed and said,
"Don't get me wrong. I like Noah. He's a good, smart kid, and I know you're in love with him. But I did like Levi."
Now we stood on the Flynn's driveway, but this didn't feel as bad as it had in the summer when he'd left for college. His fingers ran absently up and down my arm, and I tried to memorize every freckle on his face. He'd shaved this morning, his cheeks smooth under my hand. God, I'd missed him so much. Amanda came out of the house then and grinned at us. "You see, Noah, I told you that you'd work things out." To me, she said, "And I'm so glad that you did. He was miserable without you. He was always moping around. It was making the rest of us feel shitty, too. I'm not even joking." I laughed, breaking away from Noah for a moment to face Amanda. "I'm really sorry if I was horrible to you when you got here." She waved a hand, a silver ring on her middle finger catching the light and beamed at me. "Don't mention it. I'd have done the same in your place. But you weren't horrible or rude or anything." Then, before I could reply, she threw her arms around me and said, "Ooh, it was so great to meet you." "You too," I said, surprised to find I really meant it as I hugged her back. Then she went back to the house where we could hear her thanking June again for having her to stay and making her feel so welcome. And Noah kissed the side of my head, pulling me back into his side.
"I'll call you later when I'm back at the dorms."
"Okay."
"And I'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Maybe I can come out to Boston to see you after Christmas?"
"Maybe you could look at some colleges out there," he said.
And even though his tone was playful, his eyes were serious, hopeful. I kissed him by way of reply, rising up on my tiptoes and clutching at the front of his jacket.
"All right, lovebirds, break it up. That plane will leave without you," Matthew announced, clapping his hands and shutting the trunk of the car.
Amanda came out of the house with her oversized purse and said a last thank you to June, and Noah gave me one more kiss. Lee stood next to me as we waved them off, and it felt weirdly like it had in the summer when we'd watched Noah's plane take off. But it felt better than that, more peaceful, more comfortable. This time we knew exactly what we were in for with the long distance thing, and we were determined to make it work. Lee sighed, slinging an arm around my shoulders.
"I still can't believe you made out with Levi."
"I'll tell everyone I know what a snotty mess you were over Marley and me if you breathe a word to anyone. And don't forget about the bra story either. I'll tell your buddies on the football team too." Lee nudged me in the shoulder.
"Yeah, yeah, don't worry, I'm not telling. That doesn't mean I don't still find it hilarious."
"It's not funny. God,
it really kind of is."
When I caught up with Levi in the parking lot on Monday morning, he didn't bring up our kiss at all. He just grinned at me knowingly and said,
I see you've changed your relationship status again.
I have.
Tell all.
And he sounded so genuinely interested, so genuinely happy for me. I relaxed. I'd been worried about seeing him again, even if things were normal between us over text, but everything really was exactly like it had been before. Only now I wasn't wondering about kissing him or wondering if we had any chemistry or if I wanted to date him. I knew for sure where my heart lay now. So I told him all about how Noah had come by in the middle of the night, how cut up he was about the breakup, how he'd cleared the air.
"I'm really happy for you," Levi said, and he genuinely was. I could tell by his smile. "But don't look now. I think there are a couple of girls heading our way who want you to spill the beans, too."
I looked around to see the girls who were walking toward me. Levi had ducked away from my side by the time the girls reached me. Lisa was grinning almost manically, and Rachel grabbed my hand.
"We want to hear everything."
I was going to be in for a very long morning. But I wasn't the only one with good news. Dixon couldn't stop smiling. He'd had this stupid grin on his face all day long, but I didn't get the chance to ask him about it until we all sat down for lunch.
"Oh, come on," I said, throwing a fry at him. "You can't be that happy for me that things worked out with Noah. Spill."
Dixon blushed, bright pink. And then he bit his lip.
It's no big deal, but it kind of is, though. Like,
Jesus Christ, at this rate, we still won't know by Christmas. Come on, man, spit it out."
Warren laughed, and Dixon seemed to be steeling himself for something. He looked all serious for a second, before his face split into another huge smile.
"Danny asked me to be his boyfriend. You know, officially. So, yeah."
"Oh my God," I said.
"No way," said Rachel.
"I didn't realize you two were so much of a thing,"
said Warren, while Ollie started belting out "Love is in the Air," and Lee and Lisa pitched in with "Doo-doo-doo." Dixon shrugged, looking down, still with that big, goofy smile on his face. I shared a look with Rachel, and we both had to bite back giggles. I didn't think any of us had ever seen Dixon looking so giddy.
"Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to make a big thing of it, but we've been on a few dates, and I really like him."
"That's so great, man,"
Lee chimed in, their sing-song done now.
"Yeah, we're really happy for you," said Levi.
"As long as we're sharing good news," said Cam. "I finally sent off my college applications. I know it's not exactly on the same scale, but I finally hauled ass and did it."
"Geez, what's with all the good karma everywhere?"
Warren laughed.
"And when's it coming my way?"
A week before school let out for Christmas vacation, I was hanging out with Levi. We were baking cookies with Becca. They were supposed to be for the bake sale at her school tomorrow, but she kept sneaking them almost as fast as we could make them. Then his mom had called to ask if we could bake extra so she could take them into work. As I helped Becca press the gingerbread man cookie cutter into the mixture and Levi whipped up another batch, the front door opened and closed.
"Hey, kids," Levi's dad called.
Levi's dad had been in and out of hospital appointments for the last month, but he was getting better, Levi kept telling me. Some days were good, some days not so good. He was going to be fine, and that was the important thing.
"Something smells good,"
his voice boomed again, and Becca jumped down from her seat to go and hug her dad. Mr. Monroe was tall, and he had the look of someone who used to be pretty well built, but had lost a lot of weight and muscle in a short span of time. His face was thin, and so was his hair. He was just wearing jeans and a plain blue t-shirt, and when he smiled, he looked like Levi.
"Hey, sweetie pie," he said, hugging Becca back.
He stood up, smiling at us.
"All right, Levi? Elle? How was school?"
"Oh, sure," Levi deadpanned. "Best days of our lives, you know."
Becca came back over to sit next to me, taking the cookie cutter back out of my hands.
"Elle's helping us bake."
"Well, I'm not doing much actual baking," I said. "I am a disaster in the kitchen."
"She really is,"
Levi said. I knew he was thinking about the time I'd tried to cook lasagna a few weeks back, just after Thanksgiving, and the result had been inedible mush that probably would have given us food poisoning if we'd eaten it. My dad had ordered takeout instead. Noah had laughed for 5 minutes solid when I'd FaceTimed him to show off the disaster of my cooking. Mr. Monroe picked up one of the gingerbread men from an open Tupperware box. The cookie snapped as he bit the head off. "Mmm," he said, mouthful. Swallowing, he went on. "Don't suppose you kids could make me some of these for my support group?" "To me," he said. "My doctor and wife insist I go to these support groups for people in remission. Waste of a Monday evening, if you ask me. I keep telling them I don't need to go."
"Oh, right. But some Christmas cookies should make it a bit better, though, right?"
He smiled again.
"Christmas cookies make everything better."
"Sure, what's a few dozen more?" Levi sighed melodramatically, and then the oven timer went off for the 6th or 7th time that afternoon. I just laughed, and Becca ate another cookie when she thought none of us were looking. "I'm sorry about my dad," Levi said later when we were playing video games in his room. We both had studying to do, which we'd said we would do after we'd baked the cookies, but neither of us felt like memorizing facts. "If he made things awkward or anything, I think his support group has this thing about not making cancer taboo, so they can all talk about it more." "It's okay, really. It wasn't awkward." Levi's relief was palpable. "You still haven't told the other guys, have you?" I asked, even though I already knew the answer. "I just don't see the point." "Maybe you need to go to these support groups," I said, but not in a mean way. "None of the guys are going to look at you differently or anything. I swear. They'd understand. Like when Dixon came out, you know? Everyone just kind of acknowledged it and carried on. It doesn't change anything." He mumbled in response, so I didn't push the issue. But a couple minutes later, Levi sighed, paused the game, and said to me in a taut and kind of angry voice, "I just find it kind of hard to deal with. So, like, the fewer people asking me how he is all the time, the better I cope. It used to be like that in my old school, and it just pissed me off." I shrugged. "It's your choice. But even if you don't want to tell the other guys, you know you can talk to me about it, right? If it's ever, like, getting you down or whatever."
"Yeah," he said softly. "Yeah, I know."
We carried on playing the video game and didn't bring it up again. But he did say, "Elle, I'm glad we're still friends. Even after I used you to try to get over my boyfriend?" We caught each other's eye and Levi grinned. I was so damn glad he wasn't holding it against me. "At least I've stopped getting nasty looks in the hallways from the girls who have a crush on you now that I'm back with Noah." He looked way too pleased with himself, hearing about girls having crushes on him, but I just rolled my eyes and unpaused the game. The next day at school, Levi told the guys about his dad. And just like I'd predicted, they didn't look at him any differently, just told him that if he ever needed to take his mind off things, they were always up for a few beers and pizza or a game of football in the park. "See," I said to Levi, smiling smugly, "I told you." "Now who's the Ravenclaw?" he shot back in such a haughty, teasing tone, I had to laugh. "If only you could predict what questions will come up in the biology final, that'd be great." "I bet they'll ask us what mitochondria are." Our bio teacher had been relentlessly embedding the definition into our heads for the last few months. I swore I'd still know it when I was 50. "Remind me?" I rolled my eyes, laughing, and Levi cracked up too. Maybe he would have been the kind of guy I would have dated if things had ended up differently between me and Noah. If Noah hadn't been so determined to see me and fix things, maybe if Thanksgiving had gone differently, I would have been with Levi. I don't imagine we would have ever lasted long as a couple. I needed that spark, that passion I had with Noah. It just wasn't there with Levi. We were way better off as friends. I was just grateful that he seemed to be on the same page. And then I started thinking,
even with finals looming over my head and the ever-present wait for a response to my college applications, the rest of the school year would be okay. I'd hit my rock bottom. The only way I was going was up. Chapter 26. Epilogue. The sun blazed overhead. There were even birds singing somewhere. The sky was as blue as his eyes, and there wasn't a cloud in sight, and I felt lighter than I had in months, like I hadn't known just how much was weighing on my shoulders until now. Lee and I had our arms wrapped around each other, both of us jumping up and down, out of sync for once, my head knocking against his chin and shoulders. It kind of hurt, but I didn't care. I was delirious. People were calling out, laughing, crying, trying to talk to everyone and anyone. "We did it!" a voice screamed, and then Cam threw himself on top of us. "We're done! We're going to college!" "College!" Lee yelled back. "College!" I yelled. "College!" Cam yelled again. There was a lot of yelling, and we weren't the only ones. Lee and I let go of each other. Cam had already run off, probably to yell "college" at more people. And just when I thought the hugging was done, Lee slung an arm around my shoulder and kissed the top of my head with a loud smacking noise. "This is it. The beginning of a glorious golden summer, the kind they make indie teen movies out of. And then we're thrown into the soul-sucking pit of college." "College so won't be soul-sucking." "How do you know?" "Well, how do you know it will be?" Lee just laughed. "You're right. It's going to be so great. It really is." "Don't jinx it. I don't want to end up with some awful roommate. What if my roommate is someone like you? Oh God, just kill me now." Lee laughed again. He sounded as delirious as I felt. It was beautiful. Everything was so beautiful. Right now, I felt high on life, and I didn't ever want this feeling to end. I got into Berkeley. So did Lee. He didn't get into Brown. I looked around for Noah. I'd heard him cheering so loudly for me when my name got called, and when Lee's name was called. He'd also sent a balloon bouquet to me at school when I got my SAT results, the big softy. I hadn't seen him since before the graduation ceremony started, though, getting lost in the crowd of graduation gowns. Just as I was thinking about him, Noah slid up behind me, putting his arms around me and turning me to face him, his touch sending a thrill through me. He kissed me firmly on the lips before saying, "Congrats, Shelley, officially a high school graduate." Then he glanced up and smoothed down my hair. I'd taken the time to straighten it to sleek perfection this morning, but I bet I had some hat hair going on after wearing the graduation cap. "Thanks." The last 6 months hadn't exactly been easy. Not that we'd had any more arguments, but I just missed him so damn much. And I knew how much he missed me, too. He'd surprised me with a visit home for Valentine's Day so we could celebrate together, even bringing me a giant teddy bear in a Harvard sweatshirt and cap. But we'd done it. We'd managed the long-distance thing since Thanksgiving, and it was all completely worth it now that we were standing here, the sun warm on my cheeks and my fingertips playing with the ends of Noah's hair, and his lips were on mine.
"All right, you two, break it up," said my dad.
I heard June laughing and buried my face in Noah's shoulder for a second before turning to our parents.
"Come on. We want more photos. I'd rather not have to get my daughter's graduation photo from a selfie on her Twitter feed."
Noah stepped aside and I fixed my hair before holding up my crisp high school diploma and smiling for the camera. My dad had barely snapped the photo when a blur in graduation robes barreled toward us, stopping short when he noticed the camera, arms spinning for balance, and almost falling flat on his face.
Sorry, did I ruin the photo?"
"No, we're good," my dad said, checking the camera. "Hey, well done, Levi."
"Thanks."
He grinned, then turned to me. And when I thought he was about to say congrats to me, he opened his mouth and screamed. Not even words. Just one long, "Ah!" So I screamed back. And then we were both laughing and hugging, and he was saying, "I'm so visiting you at college next year. I don't mind sleeping on the floor. I'll bring a sleeping bag. You'd better."
We grinned at each other. Levi had been working at a 7-Eleven for the last month or so, just a couple hours a week, and he'd be working there more now that we were done with school. He also had a job as a busboy in a diner at the mall, which he was due to start next week. He still hadn't decided what he wanted to do, so he said he was just going to work until he made up his mind. His mom had told me when I was over at their place for dinner a few days ago that she'd hoped he'd change his mind and that he'd applied to college like most of us. But she sighed resignedly. "I suppose I can't force him to go, though." Someone yelled, "Hey, Monroe, get your skinny ass over here!" And we both looked to see a group of guys waiting to take a photo. The baseball team. Levi had joined up at the start of the season. He ducked away, skirting through the crowds to be part of the photo, and then Noah was back beside me, holding my hand. I caught him looking after Levi. They'd met a couple times and had been polite enough, but there was always something stiff and forced about it. Right now, Noah's eyes narrowed slightly. I squeezed his hand and he turned back to me, his expression relaxing. The sun behind his head gave the edges of his dark hair an almost golden glow, and his eyes crinkled at the corners with the beaming smile that took over his face as he looked at me. I wrapped my free hand around his bicep, because boy, that bicep, and grinned back. Before I could pull him down for another kiss, Lee jumped at my back. I knew it was Lee without having to look around. The elated laugh in my ear gave him away. The Flynn brothers started chatting over my head about a party we were all going to later tonight to celebrate graduation, and Lee mentioned that he'd heard a rumor about a kissing booth being set up there. I was only half listening. I felt kind of detached, dreamy. My eyes drifted between families embracing, friends taking selfies and trying to fit everyone in the photo, people running to try to talk to each other in case they never saw these people again after today, and my two favorite guys in the world right beside me. Levi caught my eye from where he was talking with his parents. His dad looked so much better lately, his face not so skinny and his skin not so gray. I saw Dixon chatting to a group of people. Not with Danny, though. They broke up back in January. Rachel was crying, hugging her mom. She'd got into Brown, of course, on early admission. And I knew she and Lee had talked a lot, after they'd seen how turbulent things had been for me and Noah. They both knew how much they had to commit to staying together through college. And as for Noah and me, we'd already gone through the worst of it. I was sure we had what it took to go the distance. Whatever came next. Noah kissed the side of my head, and Lee held my arm, talking excitedly about something. I kept hearing about how high school was supposed to be the best years of your life, and then how it really wasn't. And I decided that if this wasn't the best time of my life, the rest of it couldn't get much better than it was right now. This is Taylor Meskimen. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Going the Distance, The Kissing Booth 2, by Beth Reekles. This program was directed by Kathy Thornburn, executive producer Dan Musselman, text copyright 2020 by Beth Reekles, production copyright 2020 Penguin Random House, LLC, all rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.